Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my incredible co-host in the studio, Miss Michelle Benoit, and we are so thrilled to be here. Michelle, we are just riding on so many wonderful moments from the convention that we just had at our church. And I love that this summer we get to talk about additional topics that are just very relevant to us. And today we're going to be talking about what the Bible says about physical healthiness. I think it's a little ironic we're talking about this during the summer,
yep,
where a lot of us can fall off of a lot of things or make some excuses about some things. But it's always great to hear a biblical mindset towards topics. So I'm excited about what you have to share today.
Well, sure. We were in IKEA yesterday celebrating someone's birthday. Hey, Bethany. And I said to my husband, let me just grab a catalog before we go. You know, I want to take it home, sit with a cup of tea. Look, there's no more IKEA catalogs.
Oh, really?
They are extinct. They have been retired.
Oh.
You have to, which is fine. I get it. You have to go online, but they've gone the way of phone books, encyclopedias, paper maps, and turnspit dogs. Do you notice no one has a turnspit dog anymore?
Wow.
I know. Here we go. It's an extinct short-legged dog bred to run on a wheel, called a turnspit, that would turn meat over an open fire, and every English cottage had huge hamster wheel hanging from the ceiling.
Wow.
And two dogs, they would take their turns running on the wheel and turning the meat so the meat wouldn't be charred on one side and raw on the other.
Okay.
But they are obsolete.
Yep. Okay.
Go to my Facebook page if you want to see a picture of what it used to look like.
I will.
Well, what else has become obsolete in Matthew 27:51? The veil of the Holy of Holies of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Amen.
A man could have torn it from bottom to top, but you can't tear something from top to bottom that's big.
Mm.
And it's a God sign that the temple is obsolete. So what does it mean if our topic today is how are our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit? And that comes from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know? It's like, oh, wait a minute. Pay attention here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of when we say the word temple?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I was studying the background of this word, the first mention of it, when we think about what it means, when we think about God's presence, the first mention of it was in Genesis, when Adam and Eve heard the presence of God walking around with them in the garden. And then the next time we see it is in Exodus, when Moses is giving instruction to the Israelites about how to preserve this sacred place where God's presence can dwell.
Mm.
So when we look at the origin of it and how precious and how sacred this was, and then we hear later when Paul is talking to this church in Corinth and saying a huge transition took place from the time where the dwelling place was inside of a material object, and it's going back to this physical presence that can be felt inside of you, can be experienced inside of you. So now this is you. Instead of us talking about this structure, now we are saying that there's been a way made that God's presence can be returned inside of you should you invite him and actively by faith participate in what he has for your life in the rest of your life on the earth. And I just think it's amazing, Michelle, because we don't think about ourselves as walking temples.
No.
You know, we reduce a lot of things to a lot of bad habits, maybe things that we want versus things that we don't want. And I'm going to be honest with you.
Oh, really? You're going to go right there, right off the bat?
Michelle, do you know how hard it is and how challenging it is to pay attention to your physical well-being on the regular basis? I mean, you have so many stressful factors. We live in this hurrisome culture. We have drive-throughs. We have so many different ways that give us an out. And then we have this contrasting message in our culture. Be yourself, embrace who you are, but also try to look like a magazine cover, you know? And so we have these ping pong ideas in our mind, and we have to know, okay, God, what do you have to say about it? Because the real value is that you're saying the place where I live, I want you to take care of that. And I want the reasons for that to be a lot more substantial than maybe the ones that you even want to give yourself. You know, sometimes this high confidence or what someone said, or even a bad day when we look at ourselves in the reflection, that's not enough to carry us through with healthy habits in our actual lifestyle. And so I really think when we think about the fact that our temple has such biblical value, then it makes us think twice about what we're putting in it, about what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and about bad habits that we do like to kind of sweep under the table. Because I think we need to ask ourselves sometimes, you know, if Jesus was right here, what would his face look like as you are doing this act right now?
Oh, wow.
Think you about his facial expression. I have to.
You know, it's ice cream season.
I know.
All the new
know.
Shows are dropping on Netflix. Know. You're just raining on my parade.
Also, I was picturing like eating that whole gallon of ice cream and then Jesus just staring like you're just going to eat the whole thing. Is that really wise?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I like that you said there was no temple in the garden. Mm-hmm. That is an awesome point. Mm-hmm. You know, they were face to face with him. Mm-hmm. And now we have a different dispensation where from Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he's not a ghost. I know sometimes it's translated that way, but he's not. Mm. He's not a distant, impersonal, ethereal thing. He is a person.
Yes.
We are connected. It's like we have an internal telephone and we are connected with the maybe internal Google, okay? A Google that you don't have to Google. He wants to guide us, empower us, transform us from within, convict us of sin, help us to grow in holiness, and equip us for service.
Yep.
So I want to talk a little bit about the tabernacle in the wilderness.
Okay.
Because Pastor Schaller does in his book on biblical psychology, which is an awesome book. I think you can get it in our bookstore.
Okay.
Or online at our church website. It's an awesome book. I've got you're going to use a whole underlining pen, underlining the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to realize I have to start over again because everything is good. But the tabernacle was designed in 1450 BC after they were freed from Egypt, mm-hmm. the first place dedicated to God mm-hmm. for a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
So the outer court, just like us, we have this thin layer of skin covering our body. The mm-hmm. outer court had this thin curtain mm-hmm. that separated from the regular people and from the priests. It was really the only thing you could see outside.
Okay.
And it came to a narrow gate, an entrance, not a gate, but an entrance, very narrow.
Okay.
And the first thing you are confronted with, assaulted with, as you peek in that opening, is the bronze altar, the sacrifice, the blood, the fire, the open sacrifice, seeing animals butchered and their blood spilled right there. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the God we serve? And then the brazen laver, this huge kind of a bathtub, if it's not so wrong to say it that way, filled with water. Now, if it was me, I would have it reversed. You know, like first you come in and we have this spa-like treatment.
Standing tub.
You know, where you get cleansed and you're all polished and made ready for God. Mm-hmm. But that cannot happen. And God shows us right there, way back when, thousands of years ago, no, you approach me on the basis of sacrifice first.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is pointing to the cross.
Yes.
Wrath speaks of judgment. And I love that the brazen laver, bathtub, was made of the looking glasses of the women who were assembled around
really?
The temple. Yep. In Exodus 38:8, they had polished brass mirrors. They didn't have glass like we have. So everyone looked like a golden color.
Oh.
Maybe kind of rich and royal. Yeah, I'm going there. and they gave it up.
Yep.
They gave it up because it was better to look unto Jesus and to look unto the sacrifice.
Wow.
Jesus says in John 15:3, you are clean through the word I have spoken to you.
Wow. I love that reference to sacrifice because when we think about, you know, going before God, and we want to always remind ourselves of the ways that he invites us and helps us to remember that he is very approachable. He wants us to be interacting with him. But we think about that sacrifice as well, because God is a just God. And what did he think about those sacrifices, including the sacrifice of Christ? It was considered a sweet aroma to him each time, because we were making sure that before we started asking things, before we started praying about anything that was an issue, we were acknowledging who he was, and we were acknowledging that we were sinful and that we do indeed need his help. And so it's so interesting, you know, as you're saying this, thinking about, you know, the gruesomeness of a sacrifice when we go inside, you know, of this blessed place, but it's a reminder that we need. We should not become familiar with God and say, I don't need to lay anything down. You know, I remember being at Michigan State, where I went to college, and I went inside this store after I became saved, and there was a hat there that said at the top, Jesus is my homeboy. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, you know, I've gone from this altar where I've totally given my life, you know, I'm crying, I'm talking to the pastor just weeks before, and now I see Jesus is my homeboy, you know, on the hat. And it was just one of those moments where you realize, you know, it's okay, of course, to call Jesus friend,
yes,
but let's not compromise his majesty. Let's not compromise the reverence and respect that we have for him. And let's not forget that he is higher than you, and you do need him. And it is on his terms that you come to him and know what it means to really become a friend of his.
Beautiful. I'm reading a booklet, Eternally Secure. I don't know if that shows up anywhere.
Okay.
And just that we know that verse, the wages of sin is death, but it, that having that altar right at the front reminds us all sin has to be paid for. Mm. It's not free.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Stephen says, we can choose our actions, but God will choose the consequences.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
we need that reminder, though.
Yeah.
We do, because a lot of times, especially when it comes to doing something challenging, Michelle, we're always looking for the easier way.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I feel like sometimes I am like queen of the loopholes because I already have so much responsibility. So I'm looking for how it can be easier. And I don't necessarily think that that's always wrong, but let's really think about the things that are lasting joy. Let's think about things that end up producing fruit. Those things do require sacrifice. They do require hard work. And sometimes that's what we have to apply to taking care of our physical health.
Beautiful. After that comes the holy place. And in the book, Biblical Psychology, Pastor Schaller says this represents the soul. There's three things there: the table of showbread, the golden lampstand, and the altar of incense. And I'm just going to go off script from the book and give my own little interpretation, and bear with me. That showbread to me represents emotions.
Okay.
There's nothing I like better than going out to lunch. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, what happens at Olive Garden, you get the bread basket first and you're sitting with your friends and you're having bread and you're, it's just this fellowship and communion and, but nourishment, you know?
Yes, yes.
And among your fellow priests, you know, your fellow priests. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So bread is okay. It's important. And to me, that's like emotion.
Yeah.
A good emotion, you know. And then the lampstand to me represents the mind. And I love Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of the of man is the candle of the Lord. So, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. He illuminates our thoughts. Then this altar of incense. And to me, that represents the will. Of course, it's prayer. It's very obvious that it's prayer. But there's a wrestling that goes on in prayer. And Jesus showed us that in the garden when he said in Luke 22:42, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
And I was with someone yesterday praying for someone who was rushed to the hospital, and we wanted to pray our own will. But we acknowledged, okay, God, you're obviously doing something here. Let all this turn out for your will to bring glory to you.
Wow.
And this is our mind, our will, and our emotions is where Satan attacked Eve.
Absolutely.
You know, she saw that tree. It looked good. It was desirable. Oh, and bonus, she's going to become wise, maybe even wiser than God, or at least like him, you know? Ugh.
You know, sometimes I think, Michelle, we forget that when we're going to pursue something that is God's best for us, that means that we're also undergoing a process of unlearning some things.
Oh.
You know, like we have our mindset, we have our own initiations. It's amazing that in the midst of prayer, where so many times we hear, you know, claim it, you know, just ask God for it and he'll give it to you, or all you have to do is this. Why would you pray for this to happen when you could pray for this to happen, you know? But when you're really in sync with God's heart, it's just like you said, Lord, I want your will. Even if this makes me cry, even if I have to suffer, even if I have to watch someone else suffer, I know that at the end of the day, if your will has the final say, then I can trust everything that's going on, you know?
Beautiful.
And that's difficult for us because when we're going through challenging situations where we're withholding from ourselves, you know, we're putting the ice cream down, you know, or we're not having any more bread from the basket. It's difficult because we're saying it's so available. I have such an opportunity.
Yeah.
And everyone around me here would totally pacify me saying, well, you know, a little bit more won't hurt because maybe we're all struggling. I mean, we're all sinners. We're all weak. We all come from dust.
I deserve it.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's a big one. I deserve it, or you deserve it, Michelle, you know. And that's the thing. We're not going through the filter of I. When I say I want God's will, that means I'm coming away from myself and saying, God, in every area of my life, are you dwelling? Are you really dwelling? Like when I think about this presence dwelling, are you really dwelling when it comes to my food choices? Am I letting you dwell there? You know, am I letting you clean house there? Teach me how to forget some things. Teach me how to build some new habits, you know?
So good.
It's very difficult to fight yourself, but I love that God has prepared us for it and he always has a word.
I agree. There's a wonderful place in the scripture. It's a little cringeworthy today. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. And now count the eyes. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Which angels are we talking about here? Are God's angels like tinkling cymbals? I don't think so. I think you're communicating from the dust. And it's, to me, it's all set up to move people through emotions.
Yes.
And, oh boy, I can tell a story. Of course, I won't now. I'll get you on my side in minutes. I can turn you and embellish and use these power-packed words.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
Well, I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, really? You know, we know the sympathy words, the hot buttons to press.
And don't forget the physical aspect.
Yes.
You got to get those facial expressions in there, know, change the tone of the voice.
We know how Adam fell. We know so quickly.
Yes.
So, and it happened in Acts 12:21-24. Herod gets gussied up, sits on his throne, and makes an oration. And the people are so moved. They give a shout saying, this is the voice of a God. And immediately the angel, not that other angel, smote him because he gave not God the glory and was eaten up of worms. And then verse 24, but in contrast, the word of God grew and multiplied.
Wow.
The word of God is never to be manipulating us.
Absolutely.
It just lays truth at our feet.
Yes. And that's the powerful thing about truth, Michelle. It doesn't have to defend itself. It's sobering, and we respond when we hear it, sometimes involuntarily, you know. Even the basics of knowing when something is right or wrong, you know, before you know Christ, it's in you to respond to something that is grievous. It's in you to respond to something that's deceptive.
Of course.
You know, you feel something in your heart that's conflicted, you know? But I do want to make sure too, also in saying all of these things about being very physically aware and making sure we're taking care of ourselves, we do have to have a balance.
Yes.
Because yes. God is a God that is also a huge advocate for celebration and fellowship and relationship. And we see that in Nehemiah 8, verse 10.
Oh, nice.
Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we see references like this in the Old Testament, and then we see in Acts 2 how everyone was fellowshipping with one another. Once mm-hmm. they gave their lives to Christ, they were breaking bread together. They were confessing to one another. God yes. is an advocate for this. He's yes. an advocate for celebrating. And we have to remember that when it is time to celebrate someone or to come alongside, you know, someone in a situation and express joy for them. Okay, I'm going to have a slice of cake. Okay, I'm going to eat these sweet things. I'm going to participate in being joyous with them. But that's a different situation than saying, well, I'm also going to find a reason every day this week that I can repeat that and justify it, you know?
Yeah.
So let the special moments be special. Don't feel guilty about them, but also know that there is a healthy boundary mm-hmm. that you have to live by in order to make sure that your temple is a reflection of Christ in your life. If you're always stressed and you're reaching for things that are not good for you, then that's not a great reflection of Christ. Mm-hmm. I remember realizing after a while, I would always have these cravings for sugar, but it was very specific times. And I thought, where is this coming from? I know I'm not supposed to be, you know, sneaking a chocolate here or finishing something that my kids didn't finish. And when I prayed about it, Michelle, it was kind of like, wow, God, I didn't realize you would speak to me in this way, you mm-hmm. know, kind of like on this lowly level, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But God just put the word stress in my mind.
Oh.
When you are stressed, you run to this for instant gratification and distraction.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that there was a connection between the two. I was sitting there baffled, like, why do I have this bad habit that's developing? And then that goes to an even deeper issue. Do I believe God for whatever internal healing that I need, or am I going to do this instant gratification action that has a bad impact on me, but at least for the moment, I'm feeling better? You know what else makes me feel better? A hot cup of tea.
Yep.
And going on a walk outside and being with God in that way.
Very
but
nice.
You have to be willing to challenge yourself and know that you're not obligated to fulfill the flesh when it's screaming at you to do something to yourself that is not the best physically.
You know, this world is trying to conform us mm-hmm. with things that are too polished, too professional, too pretty, too popular. Mm. And in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God uses the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, the despised things, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Hmm.
You know, and we've got the next verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge. Have all faith. I can remove mountains. But no charity, I'm nothing. Mm. And this is where we're depending on our mind to get us out of situations yep. and figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone's oration, like Herod's, moved us
mm-hmm.
and it's touched something. And now we're trying to run it through our mental filter.
Mm.
But some things, you cannot come to an understanding of it. And mm-hmm. we just have to say with Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Some things you can be challenged mm-hmm. on your position on something. And sometimes I just say, you know, I don't know enough about this to have an opinion.
Hmm.
Or I haven't prayed enough about this to know God's heart.
Yes.
Could we talk about this at another time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
wow, that's such wisdom, you know, because maybe something that God is speaking to you based on how he created you is very different than how he would speak to me. And we do that, Michelle. You're right. We totally like to ride off of our emotions and just say, okay, I want this to hold me up. Or now that my brain has been able to figure this out or wrap my mind around it, now I have figured out God. You know,
oh.
so now,
oh.
So now I have reached this new spiritual place, you know, but it's very easy, you know, to just keep trusting our own wisdom because we're so mm-hmm. capable. Mm-hmm. But man, do we misuse that capability. Yeah. I mean, we think about the purity in which God created us, and we have to remember that's our origin. In Genesis, God created us in his image. So he cares very deeply about how that is treated and the decisions that we're making, you know? And so when we have our identity in Christ and we say, you know, I gave my life to Christ, I'm a new creation now. What does that mean for me now? It means that there's something actively transforming me in my body, and it talks to me spiritually, mentally, emotionally, to help me be wise like God. And that's definitely something that we have to remember can manifest itself in a conflict when our flesh is saying, hey, wait, whoa. Remember, we like to call shots. Remember, we're smart.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we have these, you know, degrees, or we went to Bible college, or, you know, you are actually equipped to self-guide. I just want you to know, you know, like, this is the kind of lie that our mm-hmm. flesh tries to tell us all mm-hmm. the time. And we do have to have that humility, like you just spoke mm-hmm. of. You know what? Even though I know some things, even though God has taught me some things, I have to remember there is always more that I don't know.
Yep. The next part of Corinthians verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, left to be this guy's neighbor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. So I can be operating in that middle court with my mind, my will, and my emotions, and being so off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the only thing that can protect my soul is the next part of Corinthians, love.
Yes.
Love. And I'm going to add in humility.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, if I keep myself in the love of God, under God's authority,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not saying, look at me, look how righteous I am.
Right.
Look at the stand I'm taking on Facebook. Look at my Facebook page. I've curated it
yes.
for you to only see this side of me and how amazing I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
I know. And that's the thing. We have to remember that our discipline looks different when it's through spiritual eyes, you know? So there are certain areas, just like you're saying, we wouldn't even apply discipline. Lord, I don't have a problem here. I don't need to pray about this.
Mm-hmm.
So the first problem is that you think that you know the mind of God towards the problem. That's the first problem.
Yep.
So that's why we need to have that humility and ask God, do I need to be considering something that I'm not? You know, I'm very strong in this area. You know, I'm an extremely strong-willed person. You can ask my husband. There are so many moments where he'll just, you know, and he just lightens it a little bit for me. And he'll just look at me and he'll say, Jasmine, you know, and he'll look at me in my face and just help me realize the comedy sometimes and how ridiculous I'm being, you know. But it's pointing me to a much higher place when I'm literally battling something and I cannot see that I'm entangled.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. that I'm about to provide a great freedom to myself mm-hmm. by doing this thing mm-hmm. that is supposed to offer me hope or supposed to offer me a solution. But of course, he's not attracted to it the same way. So when my husband sees me doing it, it's like he's watching me, you know, walk on the plank. And he's like, I just think you should pray about this. I'm hearing a lot of you in this, and that's why you're confused.
Well, there were a lot of I's in those first three verses of Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the Holy of Holies, and Pastor Schaller's book says it represents the human spirit. We've got a veil, which is torn,
mm-hmm.
and Hebrews 10:20 says we've got a new and living way that He, Jesus, has consecrated us for us through the veil, through His flesh.
Wow.
And here's this big, beautiful box, way bigger than a bread box, of course, which is obsolete now, way bigger than the biggest jewelry box, but smaller than a dresser. And Exodus 25:22, God says, there I will meet with you. Mm. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony.
Wow.
And there's three things in there. The two tablets of the law, the unbroken ones, you know, law part two. Manna, a bowl of manna, which is a miracle that it's still, you know, good. And then Aaron's rod. Now, all the things in the inner court were made by men. The lampstand, the tables, mm-hmm. the incense. Now we've entered into a totally different place. Mm. Those two tablets of the law, word of God, written by the hand of God.
Mm.
The manna, it's the food of angels in Psalm 78. God's provision, and they had to wait for it every morning.
Mm.
And Aaron's rod that budded, absolutely supernatural.
Mm.
And the three temptations of Christ by Satan in Matthew, Mark, and Luke hit now the spirit of Christ.
Wow.
He's not going after the soul like he went after with Eve. You know, come on, create bread out of stones. And just this morning, I read again in this doctrine booklet, Eternally Secure, Dr. Stephen says, how many times have we been in the situation we're waiting for God for our provision and the devil tempts us to find our own way
mm-hmm.
rather than waiting for God to provide? We pray for bread, but all we see are stones.
Wow. Wow.
You know, hey, let's go up to the pinnacle and jump off. Mm. Won't everyone be so impressed if you do that?
Mm.
You know, really, I don't think so. Mm. I don't think that's the kind of thing that God's word wants me to be doing.
Mm.
You know, look at me, look at me, look at me. Or how about we just worship Satan? He'll give us everything we've ever wished for.
Mm-hmm.
Except these three things are against, you know, the law, God's provision, and God's authority.
Wow. Wow.
And the scripture says in Jude 11, they have gone the way of Cain. They ran greedily after Balaam, and they perished with the gainsaying or conspiracy, that's a funny word, of Korah.
Hmm.
So here we go. We have a huge negative spiral that our spirit, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be, you know, if we're the temple, we're supposed to be controlled by the spirit. But, you know, some people just want money.
Absolutely.
You know, hey, I think I'll become a pastor. I won't have to work. And I'm sure the church will pay me a lot of money.
Oh, goodness. Have they met our pastor? Okay. Because I have heard the complete opposite many more times.
Other churches.
And yet there is so much joy because, again, they are still following God's voice. And those are the sacrifices sometimes. Yeah. But I love what you're saying, Michelle, because we don't consider it gift enough sometimes that when Christ's spirit is dwelling inside of us, that we are able to tell when it's grieved.
Mm.
You know, that is such a great alarm bell for us internally. And we read in Ephesians 4:30 when Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What does grieve mean? Don't grieve. Don't give pain of mind to. Don't wound the feelings, you know. We are sealed with God's spirit, actively living in us, marking us as his. So if we know that we have this new identity and that there's a sensitivity, Christ has a sensitivity inside of us, that also means that we have a responsibility. A lot of us do not like that word, but you know what? It keeps us grounded in the Lord. It means that I know my life is not my own, that it impacts other people and that it impacts me. And so before I make the assumption that I know what's best, I am going to fall on my face or get on my knees or stop before I move forward and say, Lord, I feel different about this. Am I grieving you? I didn't even realize I could grieve you in this situation. Or maybe I've known the whole time, and what I really need to be praying about is how weak I am in this area.
How do you notice that red flag in your own life?
So a lot of times, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I prayed about it and I had peace, you know.
Okay.
And I do think that there's some relevance there, but I also think that I think we're big deceivers of ourselves. And I think sometimes we go in saying, there's no reason why God would disagree with this. So, of course, I feel peace. And I'm very careful about that. So rather than saying, okay, Lord, I want you to tell me how to feel, because feelings change. And especially as women, they go up and down 1,000 times in about 4 minutes. So praying and saying, Lord, you can search me. You made me. You know more about me than I know myself. And even though I'm grateful for the capabilities and the life that you've given me, I have to remember that I have come from you. And in the book of Revelation, I'm reminded that I'm here for your good pleasure.
Mm.
So based on why I'm here, which is for you, is this okay? Because I feel conflicted. Okay. Or my mind keeps going back to it and circling around it.
Okay.
Or I'm unsettled every time I try to prepare for it. Things that distract me and pull me away. And I have to be open to that happening even after I've prayed, because it's not always an instantaneous answer that we get from God. You know, sometimes I think God wants to see how badly it really is important to us. Maybe we want to sound like it's important because we want to sound holy and Christian. We don't care. We do not care. We're just trying to say, okay, Lord, look, I use the language. I know this is what Christians are supposed to be doing, but he sees beyond all of that. He sees beyond all of it, and he's ready for you to just cut it all out and get serious with him. God, help me to be motivated in the right way. Beautiful. I just realized I'm doing this because I want her to like me.
Oh,
I'm doing this because I don't want to let this person down and make them feel disrespected because of all they've done for me. You know, I'm doing this because so many people watch my life and I don't want to fail in front of them. Mm. You know, like, why am I really doing it? Be honest before God, even if you're not honest with anybody else, be honest before God and stay open to what he's saying back. Even if it means sacrifice for you, hardship for you, suffering for you, value the clarity that you receive above all of that.
Excellent advice. For me, the number one flag is silence.
Mm.
And silence does not equal peace for me.
Okay.
It means he's waiting.
Mm.
And I'll go on and on and on while I want to do this. And with Balaam, wow, if money's involved, all of a sudden something is very attractive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just to, okay, there's silence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That means I don't have God's peace. I don't have God's answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Korah, who's usurping authority.
Mm.
You know, when I've got myself all worked up with caffeine and chocolate, and I think I know more than Biden or Pastor Schaller, it doesn't matter. I can get myself in a tizzy, exercising myself in things that are way too high for me.
Yes.
And then the next morning, it's like, well, that was stupid.
Yeah, that's why you got to go exercise. Get the stress out another way. You know, have some other
water,
outlets.
Exercise. And, you know, I'm saying I sometimes don't agree with my pastor.
Mm.
Do you believe I'm saying that on the radio on today? But I don't.
But you know what?
But I don't get in his face or send him an email.
Yes.
I just say to God, oh, apparently there's something here I don't understand.
Yeah.
I never agreed we should build a gym on the end of our property when we were building it. I didn't give one red penny towards that gym. I was like, this is stupid.
Oh,
who needs a gym?
Okay, Michelle.
And then as soon as it was built, I was like, you idiot.
Hmm.
Of course, this is amazing and wonderful. No, you're not going to use it. I've never bounced a ball in there.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids have. Oh, duh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who've had a Bible study in there after a basketball game. Oh, duh.
Mm-hmm.
My scope was too small.
Yeah. But you know what? It was still covered in love. Even though you had your own opinion and you weren't lying about
it. I kept my mouth shut.
Yes. You still allowed yourself to be submitted.
And I
to
waited
God
for
in the process.
God. God did not have to reveal it to me.
Right.
But I just was like, okay, I don't understand. I don't agree,
mm-hmm.
but I trust my pastor.
Right. Right.
You know, and I will wait and see what God will do with this.
Yes.
Then
yes.
we've got Cain, and we see in our world today a lot of the spirit of Cain.
Mm.
And most commentaries you read say he's jealous. Well, he's not jealous because it doesn't say that God spoke to Abel.
Mm-hmm.
But he spoke to Cain. God is in Cain's ear. He's sitting in his kitchen trying to explain this to him.
Mm.
You know, if you will just do what I've asked, you know, you and I will be as close as you and Cain, there, you and your brother Abel. There was a way made plain for him. This
mm-hmm.
is all you have to do. It's so simple.
Mm.
And I don't know if Cain was an animal rights activist or what his problem was, but he was like, no. No, I'm going to serve you this way and you'll like it.
Oh, Lord.
Or I'm out of here. And mm-hmm. he was out of there. And of course, he didn't stay alone. He went and formed a little community.
Right.
You know, and they built a little city. And it was like, see, we don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've got these errors.
Yes. But I love your emphasis here because we just went on this journey of watching how things start in your mind. Mm-hmm. This is how the thoughts are fed from you yep. consulting yourself and you wanting to lift up and worship what you want, right? So then your emotions become involved because you're getting excited about getting your way. And then what is the last part? It's going to physically come out of your body. Whatever this sinful thought process yes. was, it's going to manifest. So you're going to get your it friends is. Together. You're going to say, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to get some attention. We are going to proclaim what we believe is right. And that's what we have to remember, Michelle. It's all interconnected.
Yes.
How you're doing physically is a big reflection of what's yes. going on internally in your emotions, in your mind, and in your spirit. Because if there is a discipline there, if there is a humility there, then it's going to impact what comes out of you next.
You know, I think of the prodigal son. He comes home. The father is so happy, rejoicing, gives him a robe, gives him a ring, and gives him new shoes. He's going to have a new walk. Mm. He's going to have a new life. And his brother will not come to the party.
Mm.
You know, and I think of the Pharisees, you know, on the hill. Not coming to the party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Michael, David's wife, mm-hmm. not coming to the party, mm-hmm. standing outside the gate.
Mm-hmm.
But who's at the party? Well, Rahab is.
Mm.
Rahab the harlot. Mm. Peter, mm-hmm. the denier. Moses, the murderer. David, the adulterer. Because of the mercy seat. We're talking yes. about the tabernacle, and over all of this is this golden mercy seat
yes.
sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled.
Hmm.
So the thing that you can protect your spirit is an appreciation and a love for mercy and grace
yes.
for yourself and for others.
Wow.
And in John 14, Jesus, I always wondered why he did this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He bound those all together. And no one comes to the Father but by me, the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And the way is God's authority,
yes.
Aaron's budded rod. Everyone threw their rod in there, but only one budded. Only one was touched supernaturally.
Mm.
The truth, God's unbroken tablets. You know, I'm sorry if you don't like God's way, but here it is in right. black and white.
Right.
And the life, the manna, the bread of life that sustains us.
Mm.
You know, the wilderness tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem, and even us today, the flesh and blood little temple. Here we are, two little temples talking yeah. to each other. It's not of ourselves
right.
that deserve the glory and praise. It's only to the extent that we contain the Shekinah
yes.
glory.
Amen.
Exodus Amen. 40, a cloud covered the tent and the glory of the Lord filled the
wow.
temple.
Hmm.
Second Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels mm. that the excellency mm. of the power may be of God and not of us.
Wow. Wow. I love it. It's so beautiful. It's so redeeming. And I love the examples that you just gave, you know, of Rahab and David and Peter and Moses. They all had something very, very heavy that they were also carrying. There's going to be something very heavy that you're always carrying as you approach Christ. But what does he say? But I'm still approachable. I still want you to come. I died for you. I wanted to be the sacrifice for you so that I could get even closer to you and not have this moment between us or this procedure between us. I wanted to be inside of you because that's how I can perform inner workings. That's how I can transform you. That's how I can help you daily. But do we take advantage of it? Because as wonderful as we know we have this opportunity, we know we're also free to flat out reject Christ every day as well.
Sure.
You know? And just think about the mercy that you were just speaking of. How could you, being God, knowing that you're right, knowing that you gave me life, you're staring at your own creation saying, no, no, no. It's just reminding me of like when my kids are saying no to me about something and I'm like, okay, we have a history, you know, like I have some personal ways I'm feeling about what you're saying right now, because I've been there from the beginning of your life, you know, praying for you, investing in you, you know, taking care of you. And it's the same way with Christ, you know, after we've had our moment, we need to sit down and look in his face and understand that He's not looking at us with a face of disappointment. Even if we did just do something that we just prayed about not doing ever again, even if we did something that we know was completely against what our pastor advised us to do, you know, God wants us to come back. Remember, I remain approachable. I want you to approach me because guess what? I'm your only hope.
So beautiful. You know, this is my last little contrast between the tabernacle in us. There was a time in Joshua 3:3, Joshua said, when you see the ark and the priest bearing it moving, go after it. I love that. Go after it. And Hebrews 12 says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Wow.
Now, some people might have been upset because in the beginning of this little talk, I said the temple is obsolete. Well, God has no plans to reinstate temple worship because in Revelation 21:22, John says, I saw no temple therein. This is the heavenly New Jerusalem. There's no temple in New Jerusalem, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple.
Wow. Wow. I love this invitation for us, Michelle, to always think higher, you know, like we have such an amazing opportunity every day to commune with this beautiful, pure, cleansing presence of God. And it can navigate us. It can preserve us. It can teach us so much if we give him the opportunity. And so I just love this encouragement from you and all of these different ways that we've discussed the fact that we are precious to God. Whether or not we understand all of it, we are. And it's not just because of that outward layer, you know, that you're talking about, but because when he made us in his image, he had plans. He's always had a plan to be even more personal. And all we have to do is invite him inside of our heart to do so. So I pray that all of us that have taken that opportunity, that we really listen to the voice that's trying to transform us in every area of our life, including physical healthiness. And then for those who don't know Christ, that they would really see him not just as someone to try or as some type of club to join, but really as someone who can untangle all that's inside of us that is just not right. And from there, he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He reaches his hand out and he says, let's do this together. I'm in you now. And you have a future and a hope. Amen.
I love it.
Amen. Wow. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you for all the comments, guys. Oh, thank you so much for your support. We have just loved being here today. We love being able to share. God is amazing, Michelle. And we just pray that he continues to bless you this week as you receive more about spiritual healthiness, physical healthiness, and all the ways that we can attribute him to our lives more practically. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.